we've been studying oracle salt the last few days. Has anybody had any thoughts about either?
Yeah. I got up about 1 in the morning and studied it for about 30 minutes.
What did you study?
Well, the oracle. I mean, it's real. It's where we do speak from.
It's where we do God stuff from.
Yeah. And in contemplating it, things happen. It was good. I appreciated the teaching, which I told you yesterday. Opening up.
But isn't it effortless? The oracle revelation, because it's the completion of the mystery.
Yeah, it's as automatic as breathing. Once you get rid of all of the things that interfere with it, when you get rid of all of you,
all of the clutter that you think is important.
Well, no, just all of you.
Well,
not getting you're not going to improve.
Is there any way that I can say I don't want to get any worse?
What?
Is there any way that I can say I don't want to get any worse?
Well, you can say anything you want, but even not wanting, that you not wanting to be something is to be repented of. Because you have to be gone in your consciousness.
I learned, you say repeat, oh, I never taught you anything, blah, 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 I've never taught you. Well, I feel like I've learned a lot from you, or unlearned a lot.
All right.
Let me finish. But I do feel an occasion like, and maybe this is your position. At times, all that I've learned or unlearned, but I still feel at times that the pushing of the envelope so far by you, almost not absolutism, but this very, very fervent teaching, I guess it agitates me and provokes me to stay on my journey of repentance. But it frustrates me occasionally because I want to die to self where that happens, yet I find I rebel often, then I repent again. It's almost like one step up, one step back, two steps forward, one step back. And I get tired of doing the two step, forward and back, forward and back. Do you have an answer for that, or any spiritual
Well, the best way
guidance?
To look.
I'm done.
I can't tell we have a period or a comma.
I've heard that trite remark a million times, so I've got to talk the way you like. Shit.
All of that mystery that you've just described is revealed in the Psalms of Ascent that we read, or supposedly read, before every pilgrimage feast. And they're going from the standpoint of being in the world, you end up on the mercy seat. And so you, in reading those psalms, and I've said this many times, maybe not lately, but whenever you are in something, in a place that is frustrating or whatever, then you go back and read the Psalms of Ascent. Because that's what brings you, with our understanding of those psalms, it brings you to the point from I can't see in the darkness the smell of death on the wind to the place where there's only the glory of God in Psalm 134. And so it's not an ascension that's just straight up. It's back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. So my exhortation, when you feel that way, go back and read the Psalms of Ascent.
All that rebellion does create affliction.
All right.
As well as the world, because the world creates plenty of that. My rebellion creates affliction too. And that would be a period at the end of that comment.
All right, let's go to Genesis 19. The beginning of 19, it was Passover, and during that Passover, two angels visit, and well, let's not. It will take me forever if we're going to do all that. Let's just talk about one thing. Go to, starting chapter 19, verse 24. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities, and all the plain, and all the inhabitants of the cities, and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. The common understanding of the reason for the destruction of there were the five cities that were destroyed, but Sodom and Gomorrah were the two main, Sodom and Gomorrah were the two main ones. But the common is that they were destroyed because of homosexuality. But that's not what Ezekiel says. Ezekiel says they were destroyed because they did not care for the poor. But in this case, we have salt being used for something destructive, or a parable of it. And so the wife looked back longingly, is what it says in Hebrew. She looked back to the Sodom and with a longing heart. She wanted to return and go back there. Were you raising your hand?
No, I had a bug or something fly by. Oh.
And so that's the reason she was turned into a pillar of salt, because she looked back longingly. But here we have salt being used not as something eternal, but something of that which destroys. Now, what does that tell us?
Well, it's true that salt can kill, and salt is also a healer too. So it's...
Where is salt a healer?
Often you can put it on a, if you have a wound or something that it's painful, but I believe it's salt can be used.
All right, let's look at another place. Let's look at,
why would they do salt? That is, are we going to...
Well, that's what we're trying to study here.
Yeah.
Let's keep that in mind. Let's go to 2 Kings. Let's go to Deuteronomy verse 29. we have to really start in verse 10 here. Moses is constantly exhorting to encourage obedience and complaining, or to stop complaining and murmuring and all these things that we are so familiar with. And then in verse 10, he says, "You stand this day, all of you, before the Lord your God, your captains of your tribes, your elders and your officers, with all the men of Israel, your little ones, your wives, and thy stranger that is in thy camp, from the hewer of thy wood unto the drawer of thy water, that thou shouldest enter into covenant with the Lord thy God, and into his oath, which the Lord thy God maketh with thee this day, that he may establish thee today for a people unto himself." Now remember, in Hebrew, I mean, everything is in the present tense. So if you were reading this in Hebrew, this would be the Lord talking to you at this present time. So, in verse 12 again, "that thou shouldest enter into covenant with the Lord thy God, and into his oath, which the Lord thy God maketh with thee this day, that he may establish thee today for a people unto himself, that he may be unto thee a God, as he hath said unto thee, and as he hath sworn unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Neither with you only do I make this covenant and this oath, but with him that standeth here with us this day before the Lord our God, and also with him that is not here with us this day. For you know how we have dwelt in the land of Egypt, and how we came through the nations which you passed by. And you have seen their abominations and their idols, wood and stone, silver and gold, which were among them. Lest there should be among you man or woman or family or tribe whose heart turneth away this day from the Lord our God, to go and serve the gods of these nations. Lest there be among you a root that beareth gall and wormwood. And it come to pass, when he heareth the words of this curse, that he bless himself in his heart, saying, I shall have peace, even though I walk in the imagination of my heart, to add drunkenness to thirst. The Lord will not spare him, but then the anger of the Lord and his jealousy shall smoke against that man, and all the curses that are written in this book shall be upon him, shall lie upon him. And the Lord shall blot out his name from under heaven. And the Lord shall separate him unto evil out of all the tribes of Israel, according to all the curses of the covenant that are written in this book. So that the generation to come of your children that shall rise up after you, and the stranger that shall come from a far land, shall say, when they see the plagues of that land, and the sickness which the Lord hath laid upon it, and that the whole land thereof is brimstone and salt and burning, that it is not sown, nor beareth, nor any grass groweth therein, like the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah, Admah and Zeboim, which the Lord overthrew in his anger and his wrath. Now, there again, salt is a metaphor for destruction, non-fruitfulness. He says in his heart, he blesses himself, saying, I shall have peace, though I walk in the imaginations of my heart, to add drunkenness to thirst. Now, what does that mean? You add drunkenness to thirst. Does wine everybody know what it means to imagine?
The wine of self-seeking?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the same as this idea that You are wearied in the greatness of your way, yet you say, if not, there is no hope. For you found the life of your own hand, therefore you're not grieved. So you satisfy the thirst, which is really to God, and you satisfy it with the imaginations of your heart. And then you say, God said this, or it's God did this. But again, the idea that here salt is is what happens anyway. Again, it's the same, the rebellion of Lot's wife, and now here the rebellion. God's people.
It's amazing how God uses certain things. I mean, a parable here, this parable, used for destruction in one sense and then used for eternity in another.
Amen. All right, let's go to...
Because when we leave grass out here in the yard from the winter ice storms, the grass can't grow. I mean, the salt that we put on the steps. Kills the grass.
I don't know how this relates, but when I was reading last night, there was a long dissertation on what it is to love the world. And that's obviously what her position was. She loved the world and was totally engaged and therefore looked back longingly to
the
object of her affections.
And the same thing applies, and I think it's... Let's go to Isaiah 30 for just a minute. Yeah, Isaiah 30. Anybody there? This is just a metaphor, I mean a different look at what you just said. Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me, that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin, that walk to go down into Egypt, and have not asked at my mouth, to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh, and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. Therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame, and trust in the shadow of Egypt your confusion. But the whole idea, this is to us, when we stop faith and we think, well, I'm going to have to go do Egypt stuff for a while. But we don't ask at his hand before we do it. Amen. All right, let's go to Second Kings chapter 2. This is where Elisha comes into the picture instead of Elijah. And Elijah draws, divides the Jordan River. And then Elisha does it. And so then let's start going down in let's start in verse 19. And the men of the city said unto Elisha, "Behold, I pray thee, the situation of this city is pleasant, as my lord seeth, but the water is not, and the ground is barren. It doesn't mean that it doesn't say that the water is nothing, or but the water is sour, somehow not drinkable. And he said, "Bring me a new cruse." And he put salt therein. And they brought it to him, and he went forth into the spring of the waters and cast salt in there, and said, "Thus saith the Lord, I have healed the waters, and there shall not be from hence any more death or barren land." So the waters were healed unto this day, according to the saying of Elisha when he spake. So here salt is used to purify brackish water, which is, here it healed the water, is what it's saying. Now again, it's like, I want to go on, and then we'll go back and forth and explain some of this stuff. Let's go to Ezekiel 16. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, "Son of man, cause Jerusalem to know her abominations, and say, Thus saith the Lord God unto Jerusalem, Thy birth and thy nativity is of the land of Canaan. Thy father was an Amorite, and thy mother a Hittite. And as for thy nativity, in the day that thou wast born, the navel was not cut, neither wast thou washed in water to supple thee. Thou wast not salted at all, nor swaddled at all." And it goes on about none pities. He's just calling Jerusalem every worst possible situation. So somehow at his nativity, the cord was not cut. What do you call that cord?
The umbilical cord.
Umbilical cord was not cut. And the child was not salted. So somehow salt has something to do with birth. So, any thoughts about that?
Yeah, both this one and the other one. Like the waters being healed is because of the salt. That's what heals the people, is salt. It's the awakening to eternity, which is the beginning of salvation, and therefore healing will it takes place. And the same thing kind of here.
Well, but spiritually, you're still, spiritually, I mean, metaphorically, is you're still sucking at your mother's breast when you're 50 years old. You know, You're still gaining sustenance from, because the umbilical cord was not cut. I mean, it's parable, is there?
Yeah, and the child wasn't salted. I mean, I've never heard of that, but. Same concept, isn't it?
You're somehow placing him in a position where he can understand eternity.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to Ezekiel 47. I don't know. I'm just reading these things.
Well, that's what they use in swimming pools nowadays, is to filter water. It's salts. They quit using chlorine.
It kills
all the time.
A lot of pools are
like salt.
All right. Let's go start in verse 9. Ezekiel 47. Well, no, start in verse 8. It's a vision of the river flowing from the temple. And I think it has to do with what Jesus said about out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. When he said that on the Feast of Tabernacles. So here, Ezekiel has a vision that sees this river of water flowing from the temple. And so in verse 8, then said he unto me, these waters issue out toward the east country and go down into the desert and go into the sea, which being brought forth into the sea, the water shall be healed. And it shall come to pass that everything that liveth, which moveth, whitherso the river shall come, shall live. And there shall be a very great multitude of fish, because these waters shall come there. For they shall be healed, and everything shall live whither the river cometh. And it shall come to pass that the fishers shall stand upon it from En-Gedi even unto En-Eglaim. They shall be a place to spread forth nets. For their fish shall be according to their kinds, as the fish of the great sea, exceeding many. But the miry places thereof, and the marshes thereof, shall not be healed. They shall be given to salt. And by the river upon the bank thereof, on this side and on that side, shall grow all trees for food, whose leaf shall not fade, neither shall the fruit thereof be consumed. It shall bring forth new fruit according to his months, because their waters they issued out of the sanctuary, and the fruit thereof shall be for food, and the leaf thereof for medicine. So again, the salt here is given to unprofitable waters, like mire, mud, to make them worse. Got rid of the waters.
Yeah.
Because the waters weren't pure. They were miry.
Right.
So it's getting... All right, let's now go to Judges chapter 9.
I have a question about... there's a passage in Ezekiel. I think it's in Ezekiel where the water kept coming up. It came up first to the knees.
Yeah, that's a picture of the temple.
Yeah, and I was thinking about that last night in the sense of being in Christ, being, you know, Christ is in us, but then we're I guess gradually become enveloped in his life.
Yeah, we have no life of our own.
Right, obviously. Where is that?
Oh, I can't remember. But it had to do with measuring the temple. But anyway, Judges 9. starting verse 42. And it came to pass on the morrow that the people went out into the field, and they told Abimelech. And he took the people and divided them into three companies, and laid wait in the field, and looked, and behold, the people were come forth out of the city, and he rose up against them and smote them. And Abimelech and the company that was with him rushed toward and stood in the entering of the gate of the city. And the two other companies ran up on all the people that were in the fields and slew them. And Abimelech fought against the city all that day, and he took the city and slew the people that was therein, and beat down the city and sowed it with salt. He threw salt on the ground, enough salt so nothing would ever grow on it again. Now, again, we're having this, and we're not going to get into it to answer it, but we're having salt. Every sacrifice must be salted. It's a component of eternity, so that your speech is seasoned with salt, everything's seasoned with salt. But at the same time, salt is used to destroy. And so this is what I want you to think about, and we'll see if we can come up with putting this thing together in the plan of God tomorrow. Okay?
I think I just did.
What?
Put it together.
What?
Well, it's so contrary that salt is used in these completely opposite ways. Destruction and life. And so it has to do probably with flesh and spirit. And to the flesh, salt kills and destroys and won't let things grow. And it's, you know, it stills. But to eternity, salt is the everlasting opening of heavens.
The component of eternity.
And a component of eternity or a component of death.
Well, it's the same. It's real quick. I'll show you one place. Let's go to 2 Chronicles chapter 4.
And it also simultaneously kills but heals at the same time. If you have an ulcer in your mouth, which I have one right now, it kills the bacteria, and there's death. Yet from that death, there's life because my mouth heals.
And it hurts like hell.
What do you think of that?
And it hurts.
Second Chronicles chapter 2. This is a hint to what this dual meaning is. And it confirms what you just said, Gary. So we're sort of reading ahead here, but that's all right. Verse 14. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ.
Second Chronicles.
You meant
Second Corinthians.
Okay.
God.
Yeah, we're
this is one of those CH guys. Second Corinthians chapter 2. I said Second Chronicles, didn't I?
Oh.
Second Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 14. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus, and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. And I want you to hear the word savor. That's what. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are the savor of death unto death, and to the other the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? We are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God speak we in Christ. And so it's the same thing. It's we then are the salt of the earth. So you become to one, you're the savor of life, and to the other, the savor of death unto death. But if the salt has lost its savor, and spiritually that means you've mixed with the world, then it's good for nothing. So, can we see why there's the dual meaning of salt now?
Yeah.
Everybody got it?
And it's okay. It wasn't okay for a while. It was bugging me.
All right. We'll go more tomorrow.
There's only one word for salt in your studies.
Well, it's a Greek word. Hebrew. There's Greek and Hebrew, but yeah.
But not
no, there's just one. All right, take it, big guy.